It's Arteta! What a strike! What a screamer! It's all there! And a fantastic goal! Arsenal back in it!
And here's Lippert, lines it up, finds the net. Arsenal in front.
What has no discernible plan and may have totally lost control of the situation and isn't named Jose Mourinho? This is the Arsenal Vision live pre-match podcast. My name is Elliot Smith, and you can block me on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. This is a live show. What you are listening to is literally happening. You know how it's happening? Because it's happening. It's happening right now. We are going to laugh at Spurs. We are going to have fun at Jose Mourinho's expense. We are going to predict fantastic results tomorrow. This is going to be a celebratory occasion, and I am so excited that we can be doing this live, literally live, as in if you are listening to it right now, it is actually going on right now. The thing you are listening to is happening. It's happening right now. You ever seen Spaceballs? How will I know when the future comes? When it gets here? It's here now. We just missed it. It was just then. But this is now. It's happening now. Scott is here. You can find him on Twitter. @_that_crab. Hello, Scott.
Yeah.
Indeed. And Clive is here. Clive. Clive can be found on Twitter @ClivePAFC. Hello, Clive.
Hello, hello.
Hello, indeed. Clive is the calming voice. I am the hysterical irritant. That is what I am here for. I am here to irritate. You know what doesn't irritate, though? Enclosed lingerie. Just a note, enclosed lingerie never irritates. Well, if you haven't put the ointment on, then there may be some irritation. In any event, look, we're going to talk about United. But first, we have to laugh a little bit at Spurs. I just love what's happening on social media. Clive, have you had a chance to peruse some of the ways our players have responded? I mean, usually the players try to be very vanilla, especially Aaron Ramsey. Aaron Ramsey is either like tweeting out links to charitable organizations that like protect wildlife, silly stuff like that, or pretty much nothing. And he went in on Dyer. Did you see his post?
I did see his post. And sometimes, I mean, I coach football, right? Sometimes you don't hear what goes on the pitch. And maybe the players, well, we saw a little bit, didn't we, on the sideline, but maybe the little chitter-chatter and the banter on the pitch was a little bit frosty. So Arsenal players are reminding Spurs of the result in different ways. And it's been traumatic for them and quite cheerful for us, right?
I think it's been super cheerful. What was the hashtag, Scott? Do you remember? Was it he said sit down?
I believe that was the one.
That was the hashtag. I got to tell you, I'm enjoying it. I think it was fantastic. If you missed our post North London Derby podcast, you should listen. But Scott and I covered some statistics. And Scott, I think the statistic that really had people's ears perking up was one that we should repeat again for anyone who missed it. Again, what is the statistic as between Arsenal and Tottenham in terms of completed home stadiums?
Let me look it up here. It looks like, you know, I see Arsenal with one and Spurs with, it looks like they're still at zero.
To be fair, okay, so it's 1-0 to the Arsenal, but you know we like the advanced analytics here. Their expected stadium is like 0.6, right? They've got like 0.6 of an expected stadium?
It's that's what it seems like, you know. It's going back and forth. There's a lot of moving parts there.
Good for them. Good for them. Well, you know, that's their problem. We now go to a completed stadium, but a completed stadium where the football on the pitch is crumbling thanks to Jose Mourinho, who is also crumbling. His latest comments, he has apparently called Paul Pogba a virus, and as a student of viruses myself, that is a virus I wouldn't mind having at our club, but apparently he is a virus to Jose Mourinho, who's tried everything to get the most out of this exquisitely talented footballer. Clive, what do you make of the Mourinho-Pogba situation? Do you think there's a chance that we'll get lucky enough for him just not to play against us?
Who knows, right? But whatever happens, Mourinho will make sure that we all know it's not his fault, because that's what he's become. He's become a manager that's trying to protect a reputation and remind us of a reputation, which is now looking more and more historical. And so, yeah, he's no longer the manager that used to stay awake all night coming up with tactical innovations to stop teams, to break teams down, take away their strengths. And we have to admit, whether we like it or not, he's put in some amazing defensive style performances to nullify opponents from Barcelona, when he was at Real Madrid, when he was at Inter Milan. He He's really done it on the biggest stages. He's done it against Liverpool a few times. And just when you think he's dead, he pulls something out of the bag. Well, now he's become a caricature, and he's more interested in taking away the strengths of individuals and then try to take praise to build them back up again. And I just don't feel he is the people manager that's required for the modern footballer. And it's becoming embarrassing, boring, boorish. And I think he's been mumbled, right? He's no longer fresh. He's no longer special. He's become boring and staid. And he's not bringing nothing new to the game of football. And there's a new breed of coaches. And may I be so bold to maybe include our manager in that breed, that are bringing tactical innovation on a more positive way, a more intense way, a more direct way, a more entertaining way. And I'm afraid Jose is... his only entertainment is his outlandish comments, and that's what's left. And I was going to say it's a shame, but it's not a shame.
No.
I think Manchester United
are in a
situation now. Yeah, they have to find out a way to pay him off, and that's what it's all about now. This is all about the rush to the payoff. Is it going to come now? Is it going to come later? And hopefully, for all the stuff he said about us over the recent years, wouldn't it be great if an Arsenal team put the nail in his coffin?
No, it would be terrible, because I want him to stay for life. Jose Mourinho, manager for life. Long may this reign continue. I don't know if you saw the comments, you guys, but this week he's been saying that top four would be a miracle, with just the £70 billion he's spent on his squad. Top four would be a miracle. One thing that is a miracle is that they've even done as well as they have with the goals they're conceding. Scott, I think it's interesting. I think Jose Mourinho might have a sneaky advantage in this game. His defense has been terrible, but it's possible he won't have any defenders for this match. What do you expect them to do? What's your latest thoughts on the injury crisis at the back? And would we just be better off if they were fully fit?
Well, I mean, I think in last game, did they drop Matic back into center back, or was it McTominay that was in center back?
I think McTominay was in center back, and Matic was trying to support them, which is, you know, kind of like Spurs Stadium, just a crumbling disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they trot that out, I really like, our attack against those guys. So, I mean, I still like Bailey or Bailly. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
I think that he is a really good player. I really have no idea why Mourinho's lost all confidence in him.
Because he could win games using him. And as we've previously discussed, Jose Mourinho is trying to get the buyout of all buyouts right now.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I understand that there's injuries going on. And I don't think, you know, if I had to, you know, kind of compare Arsenal center backs to Manchester United center backs, I don't think that Arsenal's are hugely better than what, you know, Manchester United have at their disposal. So it's not like they are, you know, some horrible team with the talent they have, especially with the amount of money that they've spent on the players that are there. So it is quite baffling that he's trying to use that as an excuse to really just kind of cover up for his, you know, kind of stale tactics that he's doing. It really seems that he used to be able to beat up on the small teams, kind of force them into mistakes, but the quality of the managers in the Premier League has gone up so high that it just doesn't work as well as it did, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, you looked at somebody like Mark Hughes. He used to be probably what you'd consider the average manager.
A cunt?
In the Premier League.
That's
always been true. But he was at least, you know, the average quality of what a Premier League manager would be. You know, he would get you 10th place, you know, give or take a couple of positions. But now the quality of the other managers has improved so much that he will only get you 17th, 18th place. And I think that you can see the same thing with, you know, Mourinho. He used to be a top manager, and now he seems to be a mid-table type of manager with the type of tactics and everything he does. There's just been so much innovation in the league with the different managers that have come in from all around the world that he is no longer special in what he's able to do. And I think his mind game stuff has really kind of run its course, and I don't think the stars at Manchester United are responding to what he's trying to sell.
The players hate him. I mean, they genuinely hate him. And by the way, I can totally commiserate, because I absolutely fucking hate him myself. I think they are ripe for the taking. Clive, I want to address an issue ahead of this game. I've been reading a lot, you know, from people who I respect, people who I admire, saying, yeah, they're on the downward swing. They're in a, you might even say, negative spiral. But, you know, look, we have a terrible history at Old Trafford. There's a hoodoo over us at Old Trafford. It's Old Trafford. We never win there. We never win there. But I look at it and I'm like, Aubameyang, Lacazette, Torreira, Guendouzi, Socrates, you know, these are new players. This is a new era. Leno, Emery, obviously, it's a new era. Tactically, it's a new era of players. And they don't have to play the history at Old Trafford. They just have to play that rickety mess of a team that's going to trot out on that pitch and half-ass their way through a match. So, I mean, to what extent does our history at Old Trafford really have any bearing on how this goes?
Oh, I think it does. I got to be honest with you, but maybe
why?
I've got
why, Clive?
Maybe I've got more history than you guys. But I when we approached the Spurs game, I was pretty confident, wasn't I? I was pretty confident we were going to win the game. Again, I just know what those games are like. When Spurs come to Arsenal, we change, right? We don't like them, and there was no way they were getting out of our house in one piece, right? So, but I've gone to Manchester United before myself, and every time I go there thinking we're going to win, and we just don't. And so I'm scarred by that history, you know, and every time I feel confident, we just don't show. And even when they've had injuries, when they've been under strength, I think there was a time they played about eight defenders on the pitch and they still beat us 1-0. I mean, it's just, so I am scarred by that. I think, will we win tomorrow? I feel as though, What I'm prepared to say is I hope we perform. And if we perform like we performed over the last 18, 19 games, I think that might be enough. And I think it'll be good. Sometimes we play Manchester United at the wrong time. But I actually think we're playing them at the right time. They're not in good shape injury-wise. They're not in good shape motivation-wise. They're slipping further away in the league. I don't feel the build-up is saying anything to me that I should be concerned about. So I am feeling more confident about it. And given what Mourinho's done, the separation between him and multiple players in the dressing room, multiple players, this is a game when Arsenal could make a statement, but more importantly, this could be a game where the Manchester United players make a statement. Are they going to make a statement to the manager to say, we're not having you? Or are they going to make a statement to the manager to say, we're going to play despite you? And that's my little worry. That's why I won't go all in with full confidence and say we're going to win, because it's Manchester United and there's still a level of history there, much like the level of history with Spurs. And Spurs, for all of their improvement lately, they're still not an Arsenal club. They're still not an elite club. The three biggest historical clubs are Arsenal, Manchester United, and Liverpool. And now you have the new money of Chelsea and Man City. And Spurs try to generate themselves into that next level club also. But Spurs' history is bereft. Manchester United's history is rich. And I think if they do decide to play for the badge and remember what size of the club they are, I still think it could be tough for us. But if we play properly and we keep doing what we've done and make the right selections, which we've proven to do so far this season, the right formation, etc., I think we could be okay.
Yeah, look, I mean, here's the reality, right? I look at that squad, and Alexis is not available, and Pogba's fallen out with the manager. Who knows if he'll even play? Lukaku has given us trouble in the past, so, I mean, I worry about him. He's big, he's physical, he can bully our center backs. I mean, I don't know that they're as bullyable as some have been in the past, but he is still a player that we've struggled with in the past. Martial scares me, Rashford scares me, but I'm not scared of their midfield, especially if Pogba doesn't play. The defense is an absolute shit show, and they have no fullbacks. So, you know, I would think that if we go there with a plan to attack them, if we go there with a plan to put their back four or back five, whatever they do, under pressure, I think they'll collapse, and they have all season. And so, you know, we'll see. I think the question then is, you know, how are we going to set up? Because the back three has been so good the last two games. But interestingly, with as passive as United have been, Scott, and as poor as they are in midfield, I wouldn't hate seeing us go to a three-man midfield in this game with a back four and really try to control the tempo and possession of the game, because they give you so much room to possess the ball in midfield and put so little pressure on. And I think even if Ozil was fit, it could be a game for him, because you give him space to operate 25, 30 yards from goal and he can be devastating. I mean, for you, do you just go back to the back three because it's worked so well?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different ways. I think you can probably talk yourself into either solution. I do expect that you'll probably see Fellaini, Pogba, Matic probably in the midfield. I'm not sure if they'll necessarily do the 4-3-3, but I imagine that they'll probably try to out-physical you know, Arsenal in the middle of the pitch. So I think
how?
That
with who?
Well, just, you know, the big ass guys that they have.
Well right. Okay. I get, yeah, fair. Matic is big and Pogba. I mean, I don't know if Pogba will start. Pogba's big, but I mean, you think they'll just try to control that area of the pitch because that's not been their MO this season.
I think that that's kind of, I think Jose Mourinho is going to try to make it an ugly match. I don't think he can out talent Arsenal in this match. So I think that he's going to do his normal thing where he tries to suffocate the game, especially early in the match. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them go with, you know, those three in the middle of the park. So I think that, you know, given that that is probably the likely situation and Xhaka going to be out on a suspension, you might see, you know, the three-man midfield come in because I think that it'll probably be Guendouzi that comes in because he's probably the closest like-for-like substitution that you can make for Xhaka on the team. So he's probably going to be the guy that comes in. So I wouldn't be surprised if Emery decides that, you know, with that kind of young midfield that we need a third body in there to support. But, you know, then again, how well the fullbacks, wingbacks have played with the three-man midfield or three-man defense behind them. I think that they can provide support in midfield if needed as well. So
yeah.
I think you could probably go either way. Either way, I think that I like the way that Arsenal would be able to set up against there. I think that the defense, especially the center backs, looks so much more comfortable in the three-man setup because I just don't think that any of our center backs are dominant enough to be on their own in a pair. But I think having a third guy there to help make sure that we always have the superior numbers in the box is helpful. So I think that you could make a case either way. I think I liked the way the 3-5-2 kind of thing that went in the second half. I thought that was nice. I thought even the 3-4-3 that we showed was pretty good too. So mm-hmm. I'm happy either way.
Yeah, I guess for me, obviously, I think you probably stick with it because it's worked in the last two matches, have arguably been two of our best performances. I'm not convinced the 4-2-3-1 worked great. Emery has had a knack for coming up with plans for big games that have been pretty convincing. I mean, aside from the City match, which I'm not sure there's any way you really get a result against them unless they're on an off day and, you know, we were still undercooked at that point in the second half against Chelsea. I think the big games have brought out the best in Emery. And I have a feeling this might too. I just look at United and how passive they are in midfield and how poor they've been in terms of shots they've conceded. And Scott, we'll get back to that in a moment. The amount of shots they've conceded, the chances they've given up, the goals they've conceded. But Clive, I think that the way to beat United, and I want you to listen to this carefully because this is insight, I think you have to score more goals than they do, and I think that we can do that. I think that is a classic strategy for winning a match, is to score more than the opposition. We got a question from Neil Shannon on Twitter, Neil Mitch 14, and he says, should Ozil start ahead of Iwobi or Mkhitaryan? Assuming we go back to the back three and Ozil is fit to be picked, would you consider bringing him in here?
Nope, and I don't think he's in. I didn't see him in the training pictures today. I don't think he traveled with the squad, so I don't think that's going to happen. I know potentially he was training on his own, but you normally, to get picked, you need to be with the group. So I don't think that's going to happen. I agree with Scott. I think Guendouzi will start. I think he's the closest profile player to Xhaka. I do sort of worry about him positionally, but he's only going to learn by playing. And the reason why you're probably thinking I want the third man in there is because you're just a little bit edgy about him going to Old Trafford. And I get that. But I think if we start with Iwobi and Mkhitaryan, and what you have there is really four midfielders in a square in the middle and start with the one striker. And I think with the wing-back supporting, I think that's enough to control the middle area of the pitch. And I think what we have with Iwobi and Mkhitaryan is the ability to carry the ball. And again, I think it will be Fellaini, Pogba, Matic, potentially Herrera may come in there. But what they don't have, they're not quick. They haven't got agility. And I don't think they'll be able to run with us. Manchester United are one of the lowest running teams. So this is a chance to really put pressure on that area. But more importantly, when Manchester United go long, if we can get our side positions right in the back three, Rashford's speed becomes less of an issue because Socrates will have a running start on him. And then the most important thing then is second balls, and that sounds weird, right? But Mourinho does this. He plays for moments. He plays for free kicks. He plays for second balls. He loves diagonals to the back post when Flaherty drops onto fullbacks. Well, if he's dropping onto Rob Holding, we stand a better chance to compete them in the air. So I do think three centre-backs is really, really critical. But when they go long and they then refill the space in front of the back three, that's the race we have to win. And we have to win that convincingly. And if we win that and can turn around and then progress, they're in trouble. Because then you are going into their weaker players continuously, and we will get in. So although I'm concerned about the badge of Manchester United and the history of Manchester United, when you look at it on paper, you look at it on grass, we are better than them. But we've been better than them in the past, and they've managed to drag out our performance. But the longer I talk to you, Elliot, the more confident I'm feeling, and I'm starting to feel like we could do this.
Yeah, I mean, I think after what we saw on Sunday, it would feel like a step back, as crazy as it sounds, not to get all 3 points from a struggling United side. That doesn't mean that it should be expected. You know, it's interesting. I thought about this. Fellaini is just a big pain in the ass to deal with. He's a huge foully cunt. I mean, the guy seems to commit a foul every time he participates in the match in any way. I mean, his what was it, the equalizer against Southampton where he handled the ball? Was that the goal? Am I thinking of? He handled it first, and then it's all elbows with him.
Through the legs.
But you know, I wonder, and I know Emery isn't going to do this, but Scott, could you make an argument that this would be a game for Cech to come back in, only because if there's one area where Cech probably looks a little superior to Leno right now, it's just dealing with those physical challenges, the crosses into the box, the long ball, the direct play, and my guess is between Lukaku and Fellaini, that could be their best route and the route they favor most to trying to get a goal?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that argument, but I don't know if Leno's really done anything to deserve to be dropped. I mean,
I'm
going to
stop you just for a second, because Shy AMC 123 in the chat made a good point. Yeah, Fellaini scored versus Young Boys. It was the Young Boys goal that won them the game there, where he handled it down and then scored.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a good memory, because easy to forget that they needed a late winner against Young Boys at Old Trafford. But thank you, Shy AMC 123. Sorry, Scott, go ahead.
Yes, I mean, I don't know if Leno's really done too much to deserve being dropped. I guess he could have done more against the Dyer flicked-on header against Spurs. But other than that, I think that he's been a really good keeper for us. I thought that he's handled things pretty well. You know, when Arsenal have been doing that high line, I've actually been pretty impressed with his ability to sweep up danger.
He did that right before we scored the third goal against Spurs. Yep. He played sweeper keeper right before them.
When Sissoko was running through off the back of Guendouzi. Now, that's how football's a fine line. Guendouzi made a mistake, and then suddenly Sissoko's in behind him. More speed than Guendouzi. I'm thinking, we're in trouble here. And keeper appears out of the corner of the screen, right? And that's brilliant. Then we end up scoring the third goal, win the game. So, yeah, I was going to say the same thing, Scott. Good shout.
Yeah,
I think that he's been strong.
I would say that's where he's been weakest.
Yeah, I could see the argument, but I think that he adds quite a bit for us on the offensive side. Just his ability on the ball has been really nice. I feel a lot more comfortable when the ball goes back to him, that, you know, we're not going to have some sort of danger built from it. I think that he suits the line that we want to play a little bit better, and I think that we are going to have the lion's share of the possession in this match. So I think that that's probably a little bit bigger of a thing. If we go with three center backs, I'm a little bit less concerned with them on, you know, set pieces or being able to do some of those crosses into the box, because we'll have, you know, three center backs there that are, you know, larger to be able to handle a little bit more, and, you know, you're not requesting as much from your keeper in those situations.
But yeah, you know what's funny? Like, United's threat right now reminds me more of when we played Allardyce's Bolton than it does of any other big club. I mean, I just worry about long balls into Lukaku and Fellaini. And by the way, I'm not suggesting for a minute the Czech should come in for Leno. I know that's not going to happen. I just, if I had a worry in this match with respect to Leno, it would be how he handles getting off his line and into the air and punching away or catching the balls, you know, off the head of a Fellaini or a Lukaku, where we could potentially have a little bit of trouble. So let's talk about the lineup up front. I mean, Clive, I obviously love Aubameyang up front. I think this is another game where he can start up front. Do you think, though, that the two alongside him should be the ones that finished the match against Spurs or the ones that started the match against Spurs?
I think he should be the ones that started the match against Spurs. And I think just because, potentially because of the Guendouzi thing, I think just having that those extra midfielders around will just give us a little bit of security and give us control of the match. And, you know, I just want to control the story of the game.
You sure it's going to be Guendouzi, by the way, not potentially Ramsey in that role next to Torreira?
I wouldn't do that. I think Ramsey's a more of an impact player for us now, and I think when we bring him on, we tend to bring him on to push teams back or try to create a situation where we can score or assist. Right? We don't bring him on to control the games deep in midfield. And I just don't think it's his game. We know he can do it. We know he can sit there, be disciplined, and try to move the ball. But it's not his game. And I think Guendouzi has a natural game to try to control that, get on the ball, move it quickly, switch plays side to side. And that's the skill set we're trying to replace. So the name of Ramsey makes you feel comfortable. But when it comes down to skill set and attributes, I think Guendouzi is closer to Xhaka than Ramsey is. And we spent the whole of last year talking about the Xhaka-Ramsey balance. None of us said that Ramsey could replace Xhaka, right? So I think that makes sense. However, there's something else, another sort of variable that maybe I have to respect. And something that Emery said at the weekend, and that basically he brought Ramsey on for his North London derby experience. And Guendouzi has no Old Trafford experience, and Torreira has no Old Trafford experience. They're not little flowers, but there could be a scenario where you say, you know what, let's put him in there. He's been here before. He knows the size of the stadium. He knows the environment. He won't freeze. It may not be a perfect fit, but every now and again, having someone that's done a couple of laps is not the worst thing in the world. But I would go Guendouzi. I'd like to see that. I'd also like to see something else happen, but in regard to a new player make an impact. You know, I was writing Ramsey off in recent weeks, thinking, okay, we've got to prepare for him to go in January, end of the season, so don't invest in him emotionally, Clive, because he shouldn't be part of what we're doing. Then you realize, well, actually, we need to have every one of these players in December being effective. So what I'd like to see is someone else come off the bench and make an impact. We saw some of the youngsters last week do well. I'd like to see potentially someone like a Maitland-Niles have some time on the pitch and really start to impact the first 11. I think that'll be good. We've got to get these people attuned. I know we've got the Carabao Cup game coming up. We've got to get them attuned, because when it comes to the end of December, we are literally playing in a two-day gap, and we can't do it with the same players. So if there's an opportunity to see somebody else and see something else, and a new player come out that we have seen in the past play well, must be desperate to be part of this momentum that's building at the moment. And I'm looking at Maitland-Niles because he's a favourite of mine, but I don't mind who it is. Just someone come in and really make an impact. I think he's the one that could do it, and that would be good.
That would be good. Look, I think, you know, obviously intensity is going to be key here, because we expended so much energy against Tottenham, and now just a couple days later, you know, trying to get up for a mid-table match like this, you know, you just have to, you have to act like it's a big game, pretend like they're a big club or something, because it is tough, I think, to raise your game for these mid-table matches, like unlike the derby the weekend. Yeah. Oh, hey, you know, I mean, it is what it is, Clive. I mean, they're just a crappy little mid-table club in Manchester. What can I say?
Trust me, don't mess with the badge. Don't mess with the badge. When the monsters wake up, they remember how big they are, right? This isn't Spurs. This is Manchester United, and they've got a history which is one of the biggest in the world. So I'll be confident afterwards. Put it that way.
Let's put it this way: if we can turn in a performance of the level of Young Boys, we'll have a chance. Scott, look, if we're going to win, I think it's going to come down to the fact that they don't defend well. I've harped on that a little bit, but I want to support it. I think our attack can undress them. Just like you might want to undress that special someone in your life when you gift them enclosed lingerie this holiday season. EnclosedLingerie.com. Don't forget, enter Arsenal at checkout. Scott, speaking of undressing things, though, they're back for... I just, this is where I think the advantage is so heavily in our favor. their passivity in the final third and the inability of their defenders to track runs. I mean, the real hope is that David De Gea doesn't have the kind of performance he's capable of having, because he can win them a match all on his own. But, you know, I mean, you've got Aubameyang, who scored with his last 10 consecutive shots on target. So as far as you're concerned with their defense, I mean, is that the weakness? And can you maybe rerun back for us the statistics you gave in the post-Derby podcast about just how bad their defense has been? Or not? Did we lose Scott? Scott, did you leave? Were you just bored and left the conversation?
Just talking on mute.
Oh, yeah, cool. Hey, you know, so now that you're part of sort of the main section, we expect a higher level of professionalism here. I don't know if you've noticed. There are two things we require. One is for you to be interrupted by me regularly, and two is a high level of professionalism. Three things we expect from this section of the podcast is for me to interrupt constantly, a higher level of professionalism, and shameless plugging of our sponsor. There are four things. No, anyway, sorry. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Go ahead. Tell me about how bad their defense has been.
So they look a lot more like a mid-table defense than they would a team that's as good as Manchester United, you know, or at least you'd expect for as good as Manchester United, especially one that has given up the second least amount of goals 2 years running, you know, before this season. So you look at those kinds of things and you think, oh, they have a good defense. But the stats really suggest otherwise. They're giving up a ton of shots. It's not that they're just giving up a high volume of shots. The quality of shots they're giving up is quite bad. It's actually gotten worse as the season has gotten on. You know, if you look over the last seven games, they are giving up almost 2 XG per game, which is pretty good. Actually, it's 1.6 here, which is pretty bad, especially for a team that good. They're giving up over 16 shots per game over the last seven, which is the 18th, which ranks 18th in the league. So, I mean, we're talking, like, this is not good at all. You know, I know they're going through a defensive crisis, but, you know, you'd expect somebody like Jose Mourinho to do a little bit better than that. They're giving up 5 danger zone shots per game, which is 32% of the shots that they're giving up, which is just an absolute, you know, ton of good shots in good locations. So I think that Arsenal should have a good chance. I really liked the strategy that Emery did with the halftime change. I don't know if that was necessarily the timing that he wanted to do that change, but I think that was a really good use of the depth that we have in attack to be able to go out and say, hey, give me, you know, a good 45 to 60 minutes. I probably was expecting probably more of a 60 minutes to be able to make that change, but I think that was pre-planned. Where he used our depth to go out there and up the intensity, and then he knew that he had, you know, cards to play to bring on fresh legs to keep that intensity up from those players, and I really like that. And then it also builds into this match where those same guys only had 45 minutes on their legs instead of a full 90, where they should be able to go again. Where Manchester United didn't be able to make those kinds of changes, and they're still going to be, you know, they had an extra day on us. But I still think that with the changes that we made, even though we had a really intense match, I think we really used the squad depth nicely to be able to get the important players in the rest that they needed, or to be able to kind of manage those minutes. And I think that that's something that's going to be really important as we get into December, where, you know, we're getting a fixture every 3 days.
Yeah, they just don't track runs well. I mean, they've conceded, this is astonishing, 23 goals. Liverpool have conceded 5. Okay, they've conceded 23 goals. That's more than West Ham, 22, Huddersfield, 24, Southampton, 26, Burnley, 29, and Fulham, 35. But yeah, they bad. And you know, I hope that Aubameyang can start. I do wonder if Emery will pick a team based on intensity and energy again, and because Aubameyang played the whole match at such a high level and ran his ass off just on Sunday, that he will try to use him more as an impact sub and start Lacazette, who only played a half. I would love to see him go 3-4-1-2. If Ozil was fit, I'd put Ozil right there, 25 yards from goal, park him right there and let him play in the runs of Lacazette and Aubameyang. The way they ran, I loved the 3-4-1-2 we did in the second half against Spurs. And PM Gunnar, I think, is that his name? Scott, Clive, you guys got that?
Yes.
I'm not seeing this.
Okay, he wrote an extraordinary tactical analysis of our game against Spurs
and
yeah, and how sort of Ramsey kind of dropped in and we split Lacazette and Aubameyang and had them running the channels. And I think if they can do that kind of off the ball running again with someone who can make secondary runs, you know, I would even consider Mkhitaryan in that position. You know, in a front line of Aubameyang, Lacazette, and Mkhitaryan, we know he's been sort of a number 10 in that kind of system for Dortmund. I realize that was quite a while ago now, though. So, Clive, I mean, where do you think their pain points are, and how would you exploit them the most?
I just think, much like Spurs, what you have to do with these bigger teams, you have to attack their confidence. You have to attack them where they
are
weakest. Yeah. Well, if Man United start to strut and they score first, suddenly you're playing in front of nearly 80,000 people, right? So, and everything changes. So you have to attack their confidence. And there is maybe a thought that maybe we should attack them early, try to take the game away from them early, and then make the crowd turn against them, make the players feel alone. There is that. I don't mind what we do. I think Xhaka's a major player for us, and I think it'll be a miss. But again, and he has played a lot of games for us. I think that might be the first Premiership game he's missed in over a season and a bit. So it's going to be interesting to see how we look. But we play cup games without him. I just feel that their weakness is in their back line. And we've been quite passive against them in recent seasons. And we haven't really tested them. I felt we were very unlucky in the home game last season. And I thought we showed a lot of personality in the away game, although we were under strength in a bit of a dead rubber game, right? So I think this is the moment for us. This is the moment to really go there and make a statement. And then finally, people may start to trust the club again, trust the side again. Every time we're going through the unbeaten games, we'll say, well, we haven't played anybody yet. Then we drew in Liverpool. Well, you played three big teams and you've lost two, drawn one. If we beat Spurs, then beat Manchester United, then we got Huddersfield at home on the weekend, people start to look and say, hold on a minute here. Let's have a look at what they're actually doing. And people will stop picking Eric Dier in combined Tottenham Arsenal 11s ahead of Torreira and actually think, well, actually, they've got some players that are developing, that are together, that are growing, that are doing the basic fundamentals really, really well, and are really fun to watch going forward. And to me, it's leaping out of the screen, it's leaping out of the pitch, and it's leaping out of the stands. I mean, I am a man in my 50s, right? And I've been going to Arsenal since I was 14 years of age. And that game of the weekend is one of the ones I'm thinking, wow, I wish I was at that one, because it just looked amazing from everywhere in those stands. And that means there's been a sea change at the club. We've been looking we're looking from divided club to united club, and you can't beat that. You know, we've been in this divisive state for such a long time. I'm sure there are many Arsenal fans that have just not known anything else but division. Right, so now we're potentially coming back together again, and this result is to keep that momentum going would be really important. And then it's about, okay, how are we gonna push forward? I don't know if you heard Elliot. Did you hear Emery talking about Liverpool in the last press conference?
No, probably not. I try to consume as little information as possible.
And he mentioned them. And he mentioned Spurs, he mentioned Liverpool, and he said the gap isn't too big. And I thought that was brilliant. We're all euphoric after the Spurs game. We're all celebrating, all taking Mickey out of our Spurs mates. And then straight away he's coming and said, let's look at Liverpool, the gap's not too big. That means he's resetting goals. He's resetting the players' mentality. He's saying, let's look upward now. Let's go for them. Chelsea are 1 point away. Let's go for Liverpool. Let's close the gap. The only way we can close the gap is by winning games like Manchester United away. I thought that was genius man management, and I hope it comes to fruition. If the players are looking at Liverpool, they're no longer trying to overcome Spurs. Just look ahead, reset the goals, set your goals high, and see where you end up.
Yeah, well, I can't look past them being the sixth worst, or having allowed the sixth most goals in the league and us having scored the second most, only behind City, as the deciding point of this game. But, you know, Clive, you make a lot of important points there just about the steps that need to be taken for, you know, the club to continue to move back into the upward trajectory. And I thought, you know, we said this on the post-Derby podcast, that towards the end, mentally, Spurs looked like they had blown a gasket. And it looked like really a sea change for the first time in a few seasons where I thought we had restored some of that superiority to them, that we weren't just beating them, but that they looked beaten emotionally and they were starting to lose control a little bit, which was hilarious and beautiful all at the same time. You know, we'll start to wind down here, but Scott, I mean, let's get to predictions just real quick. We've kind of nibbled at it, but what do you expect to be the lineup and what do you expect to be the score?
I think that we'll probably start with the same lineup, but with Guendouzi coming in for Xhaka. So I think it'll be, you know, the same back three. I really think that, you know, Mustafi is going to be playing. It doesn't seem like there was any updates with him in the injury thing. So I think that's a good sign that he'll be able to play. So I think we'll see Guendouzi come in for Xhaka. I think we'll see Iwobi and Mkhitaryan start on the wings, assisting Aubameyang. And I think that that big switch that we saw against Tottenham is probably the first change. It'll probably come closer to between 50 and 60 minutes. But I really hope that we are able to bring in that same intensity, because I'm not sure that Manchester United will be able to handle it. And I hope that we can get out to an early lead and really just kind of suffocate them after that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first goal is obviously very important because, you know, my one fear would be Mourinho just really parks the bus, plays really compact and deep, you know, relying on De Gea to some extent, and then tries to play out long as we get sucked up the pitch and hit us on the counter, bully us a little bit with Lukaku or have Martial running at us, Rashford running at us with pace. But can he do that at home? I think no matter how much he may want to play that way, I think at home he's going to have more pressure on him to be a little more proactive. But if they get a lead, then I think he can give in to some of those darker instincts. So, Clive, I mean, for you, the lineup and the scoreline prediction?
Yeah, I agree, Scott, the lineup 100%. And that's what I would do, make sure we're in this game and make sure we're controlling the football. I used to worry about Lukaku, but that was before he locked himself in a Kentucky Fried Chicken shop and put on about a stone in weight. Basically, he can't run like he used to. So he's just a body now up front. Again, with the back three, we can get our line positions right. And Rashford, I love Rashford. I wish he would walk out of that club and come to us. It'd be great for us. And he's a young player that's having to manage a manager that's trying to destroy him. And I just think it's criminal, and he should be the English version of Mbappe, not somebody having to justify himself to a manager that's lost his touch. And that's a shame.
To pull an Elliot here, to jump in, I was actually, so I updated all the stats this morning, and I was so surprised to see how few of shots Rashford has gotten this season. I think he's on 9 right now. And it's like, Wait, was that a typo? Like, is there some sort of bug? And then I went back.
Wait, he's taken 9 shots this season?
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's like, what has Jose Mourinho done to him? Because he is a very talented player. And it's very frustrating to see. I really like him. I mean, I really like Martial too. And it's just so frustrating to see these two really good players just get destroyed.
Not for me, because they're United.
Yeah, well, it's criminal. It's criminal buying. I mean, Rashford and Martial are happy on the left hand side of the attack. You could say, some people say that Rashford is good as a centre forward. I personally think he's a second or third striker for me at this age. Martial's definitely a left-sided player. So what do? You spend money on Alexis Sanchez and playing £500,000 a week and kill those two players immediately. And it's just criminal what's happening to them. You know, when Manchester United needed a right-sided player, not now they've got three left-sided players trying to get into one role. Not sure what's going to happen. Lukaku's deemed as untouchable, so he felt too comfortable, started eating his way through Manchester. And so now we have a situation where they look so lopsided, but they're still big names, they can still produce. And I really want us to, it sounds obvious, right, but I really want us to win this game, because
It does sound obvious, I'll co-sign that.
Yeah, well, I think it's important, Elliot, that we put them away. You know, because they're not as good as us right now. There's been times
we've missed so many chances to beat bad United teams in the past few years.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. You've said it better than me. This is the time to put them away. I think it's really important. There can be no hard luck stories here. It's time to go there and deliver. because we are in the best possible shape to deliver. We've got a system that works. We've got players that are bought in. We've got potential off the bench. We've got youth coming in behind. Don't mess about now. Just deliver and put this lot away, and then push on and let's catch Liverpool.
Yeah, well said. I would say it like this. I think that you have to beat the team that's in front of you, not the badge on their chest. And this is a bad United team in disarray with lots of fractures within the squad. Who knows what state of mind Paul Pogba is going to be in? Who knows what defense they'll be able to put out there? At the end of the day, they can't defend, and we have one hell of an attack. And this is a game for us to lean on that strength. So I think while we can always concede chances and concede goals, I don't think United can live with us offensively. If you remember, was it last season or the season before where we had the game at home against United where they scored first and then we just battered them but couldn't come back and win the game? You know, I mean, we've seen how vulnerable they are. The key, I think, is just don't give them anything to protect. Get the first goal, and then they are in real trouble because the more they have to come out at us, the more their vulnerabilities will shine through. I think it is so interesting that the biggest players at Arsenal a few seasons ago, Alexis and Ozil, Alexis now one of the highest paid players in the world, not in the game, not a talking point. Ozil, probably not in the game, not a talking point. How quickly things change and how fast teams move on. You know, it is down to the players that we will have in Manchester to get the job done, and I think they can. I'm predicting a 4-1 victory to Arsenal. 4-1. 4-1 to the Arsenal at Old Trafford. You heard it here first. Maybe just a tiny little, literally 50% makeup for the 8-2 from years ago. And I think it should be a great day for the squad, and we'll see what happens. So, Scott's on Twitter, @O_that_crab. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Clive's on Twitter, @ClivePAFC. Thanks, Clive.
Thank you very much.
My name is Elliot Smith. You can block me on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. Give us a 5-star review for our podcast and for our live show. You know what? Just type into a web browser, 5 stars for live show somewhere. See where it takes you. Probably porn. In any event, we love you. Thank you so much for all of you listening live right now. Thank you so much for all of you listening as if it were live right now. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put this up on Patreon, but we're going to make it free for everyone. So while you will be going to our Patreon, you will have free access to this. But while you're there, if you're like, you know what, those guys are half decent and they seem like they could use my help, because that Elliot in particular, I don't think he's right. I'm going to sign up for Patreon. We would love you. But we love you either way, whether you do, whether you don't. We appreciate you for joining us for this. And we look forward to coming to you with a podcast after Arsenal beat United. So until then, everybody, we love you. Enjoy the game. And we will talk to you after Arsenal 10, United 0.